Everybody, it is No Filter again in action with Snipes and Stripes. I am Jeremy Roenick, my very good friend Tim Peel. And yes, it is end of summer. It is September, which means training camp, which means new NHL season, means 24-25 is on the brink of starting. Tim, we have a lot to talk about, a lot of things that happened during the summer, a lot of recent things that we're going to touch on. You know, I'm excited about the new year, but there's also a big cloud, and it's a dark one that hangs over the National Hockey League, which we will talk about with Johnny Gaudreau. But first of all, welcome to 2024, Snipes and Stripes. Hopefully, we have another killer season like we had last year. How are you, my buddy?
Buddy, if I was doing any better, I would be you right now, okay? I'm doing fantastic. Life is great here in St. Louis. We had a great summer. Kids are awesome. Golf game pretty good. Excited to start the season. Excited to go to your Hall of Fame induction in November. That's going to be fantastic. Really looking forward to this season. Lots of changes. We have changes in goaltenders, changes in coaches, a few players moving around. So we'll get to that in a second. I want to thank our sponsors first. Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform. Number one source for everything football.
It is a new show. It is a new season.
Right? Exactly. Bet Online has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on the 200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of over $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on our game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet Online, the game starts here.
I don't know if the game starts there, but the game is definitely starting here. And I'm also going to plug my whiskey. Whiskey in the Wild, as you see at the top of your screen. I have been all over the country, and we have had amazing success in selling our whiskey. People are just blown away by the taste of it. You will too. WhiskeyInTheWild.com, the best taste on the planet. Welcome. So listen, I don't even know where to start. I guess I do know where to start, and we're going to start that way because the National Hockey League lost one of its true great superstars in Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew, and I think we owe it to them just to start this show and say how sad we were when we heard the news, how devastated that we are that we're not going to get to see the greatness of Jonathan Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, in Columbus, and a life taken too short, a life that has been taken with an enormous amount of anger and stupidity. And I'm at a loss for words. I was in Italy when I found out the news, and I cried like a baby. The Gaudreau family is an amazing family. I've known them for a long time. I had the pleasure of knowing Johnny. His wife, Meredith, is an amazing person. Terrible. And we're not gonna leave out Matthew and his family also.
Madeline, you know, Johnny, they had two children. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. N-O-A, Noah, and Johnny Jr. And then, as we all know, Meredith announced at the funeral that she was 9 weeks pregnant. And then you've got Matthew Gaudreau and his wife, Madeline, and she was pregnant with a child, too. Words can't describe how sad this is. And then
on the eve of their sister's wedding,
of Katie's wedding, it's unbelievable. And you know what? And Sean Higgins, the drunk driver, he's got two daughters. Their life is ruined. It's everybody involved. It affects every family. This guy messed up. He made a stupid mistake, and his family's ruined.
But the problem also is he knows better. He works. He's a therapist in a rehab center.
Yeah, he's got his master's degree. Works at finance for an addiction treatment company. Like, it's just, you know what? I mean,
you can't write the script. You can't write the script. If anything, obviously we look at things and we hope people learn from things. We hope something good comes out of something awful and terrible. Drinking and driving is not, is there's no room for it. It's
Called Uber, buddy. It's called
yeah,
Uber.
yeah.
Like,
It's but the Johnny will be missed. I was thinking about this, and I've thought about Johnny a lot over the last two months, month and a half, month and a half, month. Jeez, I can't believe how slow time's going that I'm really thinking about this. You try to find something good or something that you have that that makes your heart stop hurting. And if I'm a parent and I do lose two children like the Goudreaus did with Matthew and Johnny, that hurt is immense. I can't even imagine.
I
But
can't either.
I don't know if I had one go and knowing that the other one went with them, because those two are joined at the hip. They were best friends. And you see everything that is co coinciding with both wives being pregnant, the attachment, both of them hockey, very successful. Both great kids, both great looking, but they were so close. Do I have a little bit of solace in my heart that they're together?
But
Because
they're together.
if you believe in heaven, you believe that there's a next phase to this life, which I do. They're still together, and that brings me a little bit of solace. It doesn't make it hurt less. It
No.
doesn't make it anywhere more right. On the outside here, it makes it harder, but on the inside, in the big scheme of things, I'm sure those two are up there, hugging each other and looking down on their family and everybody else, happy that they are with each other. And that's the best, I think that's the best.
That's about the only way to look at it, but I agree with you because I'm sure that's exactly how Matthew and Johnny's parents, Guy and Jane, are looking at this right now. Maybe they're looking at it the same way you are as well, because as parents, you and I are both parents. I can't even imagine. I feel my heart just. It makes you literally, when it happened, it makes you sick to your stomach that this could even happen. And I saw, we'll talk about this in a second, but if John Tortorella bringing Guy Goudreau to practice the other day, the amount of support that they're going to have from the hockey community can hopefully be somewhat therapeutic. And that's what Tort said in his conference. He goes, "I'm bringing him out. I didn't, you mentioned you knew him. I didn't know him at all. I didn't know he was a coach in the New Jersey area for years." And Tort's bringing him in, and him being around the rink, hopefully that can be therapeutic and help him through this terrible time.
Yeah, and the outreach that they've gotten from the hockey community, I think the display of loyalty in Calgary, what you saw outside the Saddle Dome, was something that I can't remember seeing in a long time. The tribute to Johnny, the memorial that they showed Johnny at the steps of the Saddle Dome, was mind blowing. The support in Columbus. You can tell the type of person that Johnny was by seeing the reaction around the hockey world.
Everybody loved him.
If
I liked him when I left. He never said much. He just played. You could tell he loved playing. You could tell he was like, it was pond hockey to him out there because of his skill set. He just loved to play the game. He loved being around the guys. You see the teammates, his former teammates and current teammates, Matthew Tkachuk and Sean Monahan and these guys that literally took a piece of their heart with them. And I saw Zach Werenski, one of the speeches he gave, and he goes, "Thank you, Johnny, for it gives me chills. It chokes you up. He goes, "Thank you, Johnny, for choosing Columbus when nobody else would." Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, wow, amazing. This shows you the type of person that Johnny was. So, in ending the beginning of the first segment of 2024-2025, Johnny, we will miss you.
Yes.
You will never be replaced, and they just will not make another one like you. And God bless you. God bless your brother. God bless your family, your wife, Matthew, his wife, and we will be thinking about you forever.
Well said, buddy. Well said. And you know what? A shout out again to Torts. You know, Torts gets this reputation. He's such a hard ass, and he's this and he's that. John Tortorella, we've told stories about him on the podcast before. He may be hard on his players. He may be a son of a you-know-what sometimes, but John Tortorella has a big heart and would do anything for anybody. And for him to do this, he's focused on picking his team right now. He's focused on training camp, and he's trying to help the Goudreau family and help them through this in some little way that he can. So good for you, Torts. And I know, JR, you think the same way about Torts. And
yeah,
good for him. So
listen, little things, right? Just little things.
Little things.
Little things become big things in the long run. So well done, John.
Listen, a couple months from now, on a lighter note, you've got a little speech to prepare.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've started it yet. On the Hockey Hall of Fame, I think it's the November 9th weekend or 19th.
November 9th through 11th. Yep.
And have you started your speech yet?
So a lot of people have asked me that, right? So it's. Let me just tell you that the process leading up to the Hall of Fame is excruciating. And I say excruciating because it's all about who you want there. It's all about invitations. Obviously, there are only so many people that can go because the venue can only hold so many people.
Right.
And it is amazing how many people come out of the woodwork, or how many people that you feel that you don't even think about. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way that they can't be there. They've meant so much in my life, even though I haven't talked to them in a year or two. So the planning moving up to it becomes excruciating, right? Because it's ticket requests, it's hotels, it's planning a party, it's making sure everybody is included. The Hall of Fame speech is one that I've probably worked on the least. And you know why? Because I'm one of those guys that speaks from the heart.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation to myself. Am I gonna sit up there and write out a speech and read it in front of everybody with my head down reading a piece of paper?
No.
That to me is so, it's not an intimate situation.
No.
I'm a guy who speaks from my heart. I want what I feel at that time to come out of my mouth and come right across to the people that are listening. I've always been like that. It's gotten me into trouble. Don't get me wrong. I've gotten in trouble because of that.
You and I both. Don't worry.
Yes, but I am not going to change my ways. And no. I will have a little cheat sheet
bullet points
of things that I need to hit. So yes, I've made that bullet point list. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a structure of where I want to go. The only problem that I have is that I love to accentuate my feelings. And unfortunately, 5 or 10 minutes is just unacceptable and is not going to be enough for me, which I've already had conversations with the Hall of Fame that, listen, 5 minute speaking limit is not going to work for me. And just be prepared. And one thing, I was here in Chicago. We just did a press conference to unveil a few of the things that I was donating to the Hockey Hall of Fame going to be put into my stall at the Hockey Hall of Fame, my display. And already, I haven't even talked publicly about the Hall of Fame until I stepped in front of 12 reporters here in Chicago. And as I was walking to the microphone, Tim, I felt myself getting emotional. I felt myself, I could have cried right there.
Overwhelmed.
I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when I walk on the stage in the middle of the Hall of Fame with all those people there at the place that is so hallowed. It's going to be very, 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 very hard not to shed a tear before my first word. And
Well,
that's going to be the hardest part.
you know what's funny? Today I was making notes for the show, and I wrote down HHOF slash Chicago interview slash humble. And because I watched that interview, and I don't think anybody would ever accuse you, probably me as well, accuse you of being humble.
Never.
And I mean that with all love.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? I've actually used that word in describing the way I feel in a lot of interviews. And
Well,
I actually feel quite uncomfortable using that term because I know that term does not, for me and a lot of people, hasn't related to me. But it does now in a
yeah,
big way.
because I watched that interview with you, and I saw, I think it was your high school jacket and the jersey and a couple other items, and I'm like, wow, he's being very humble. And I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think a lot of that is because you're so, you know what? If you had got in the first year or second year after you played, maybe it would be different. But I think because it was a while, I think you appreciate it that much more. Am I wrong?
You're 100% right. Again, the length of time that I waited, I think, had a really strong effect on how the news hit me. And listen, I'm not hiding anything from anybody. We all know that I've really, had a higher power moment this year that has really changed my life direction. And ever since that has happened, I have had the most unbelievable karma and mojo in the air, and whatever the energy that is around me, the atmosphere, is amazing. I mean, so much so that every place I go to, a parking spot opens up right in the front door.
It's
When a
called.
parking spot opens up, I have the best parking karma of anybody on the planet when I used to have the worst parking karma of
The
anybody on the
Hall of Fame parking spot. That's
I
what.
mean, that, listen, it goes all the way to there. So,
Well,
yeah, so.
no, JR, it's because you got that blue tag on your mirror. Okay, that's why that spot's opening
Exactly, you know.
now.
But yeah, it's yeah, for sure. It's gonna be great. And Tim, by the way, I'm so happy that you're gonna be there.
Oh, I
It
listen,
means the world to me. So
I'm humbled that you would even consider having me up there, so I appreciate it. Listen, let's get into what's going on in the NHL. First of all, what I wanted to talk about, we have seven new coaches, and I'm going to read them off. Buffalo, Lindy Ruff; Columbus, Dean Evason; New Jersey, Sheldon Keefe; Ottawa, Travis Green; Seattle, Dan Bylsma; Toronto, Craig Berube; Winnipeg, Scott Arneil. Out of those seven names, which coach do you think is going to make the biggest impact with their team this year?
That's a great question. And again, you see so many regurgitations of coaches, right? They're coming back, and some of them have been around for a short period of time. Some of them are returning. Some of them have been around for a long time. Lindy Ruff. I think for me, because of what I've seen in the past, that Craig Berube is going to be the one guy that might get Toronto to play the way that they're supposed to play, and is going to give them the grit and the tenacity to be able to play playoff hockey the way that they're supposed to. They have a great team. They have all the power, all the intangibles. Whether they fill in some of the holes that they had last year defensively, obviously goaltending was a big issue for them last year also. There's no question they have the dynamic power and the offensive power, but it's playing the right way at the right time and having that killer instinct. And I think Craig Berube, we saw what he did in St. Louis. He worked magic in St. Louis against a team that didn't have anywhere close to the talent that Toronto Maple Leafs have.
No.
So for me, it's going to be Craig Berube.
Well, I laughed. You gotta love the media in Canada. They lose their second preseason game yesterday, and the media says, "Are you worried about two preseason losses?" And he looks at the camera like, "Did somebody really just seriously ask me this question?"
Welcome to the craziest media in the world, buddy.
Well, welcome to Toronto, Keith, because it is gonna. But you know what? He's got the personality to handle it,
He
and
does. He does.
I love the man, and I'm rooting for him as well. You know what? I think I kind of was hard on Sheldon Keefe a bit last year. Not kind of, I was hard on him. It'll be interesting to see what he does in New Jersey. There's no listen, and the reason I say that, I have a lot of respect for Tom Fitzgerald, the GM. I have a lot of respect, a tremendous amount of respect for Marty Brodeur, who I know was part of the process when they interviewed coaches, and they settled on Sheldon Keefe. So those guys are a lot smarter hockey guys than I am, and they see something in him that they like, and they're going to be a better New Jersey. And Sheldon's the benefactor of that is they got Markstrom in net. They have Dougie Hamilton back this year. They have added a couple other players here, a couple other defensemen. They're going to be a
Well,
playoff.
that was their problem. I mean, that was their problem. I mean, all through that locker room, and there literally was no question about what the issue was in New Jersey. There were two things: injuries and goaltending. Period. End of sentence. If you went down every person in that locker room, they're going to tell you the same thing. Right now, they're starting the season with everybody healthy, and they're starting with a top-end goaltender. So no more excuses for them. Again, we talked about Sheldon Keefe. We don't know what type of coach he is yet. We really don't.
No.
And this is going to be a good test for him. What I do like about Sheldon Keefe is he's honest and he takes accountability. He didn't blame anybody else but himself for what happened in Toronto. I really like that about a coach.
I
And
agree.
I think he has something to prove. So I really think he's gonna, if we're gonna see really quick this year how good a coach Sheldon Keefe really is. And I personally hope that he does well. I'm a big Jack Hughes fan, obviously all the Hughes family. Obviously Fitzgerald is one of my favorite people that I've known for since I was a kid. But I'm rooting for him. I'm really interested to see how Arneil does. He hasn't been in the head coaching position, I don't think, in the National Hockey League.
No.
He's been around. He was a tough player to play against. He had a good little career. He was a little bit of a hard-nosed guy, right? He's one of those guys, scrappy, hard-nosed. He did what he had to do. He created a nice little career out of himself with, I don't know, I would have to say average talent.
Yeah.
Those are the good guys. Those are the guys that make great coaches. No?
You know what? I think he's well liked there. He took over before I mentioned that it was Brett Pesce and Brendan Dillon that have also been added to the D core for New Jersey. Those are two great acquisitions for
Yeah.
Jersey. He took over. Arneil took over for Bonus when Rick's wife Judy was sick. I think Rick was gone for at least 2 months, and Scott took over. He knows that team. It was to
He
me,
knows that city.
he knows that city. To me, for Kevin Belvedev, it was a no-brainer to give Arneil the head coaching job, and I think it'll be a smooth transition for him there. So I'm interested to see Dan Bylsma in Seattle. I always liked Dan. And I'll give him a lot of credit. After he got fired, he took assistant coaching jobs. He spent, I think he was coaching in Coachella in the American League. He was a head coach in the American League for a few years. He paid his dues again to get another shot in the
Yeah,
NHL.
I like Dan. I don't have anything bad or anything really great to say about Dan. I think he's good. So he's in a.
And JR, Seattle added Montour and Chandler Stephenson. Like, those are two good players to that lineup. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
can we skip off the coaches? Because I would really love to go to the one thing that bothered me the most in the off season. And I know you have a list of things that we want to talk
Oh, yeah.
about, but I was a big Tampa fan. I am not a Tampa fan anymore.
I had it written down. Yeah.
I am not a Tampa Bay Lightning fan anymore. Let me reiterate that. Hockey world, I am not a Tampa Bay Lightning fan anymore. The way that Steven Stamkos was treated in this free agent year is so disrespectful. And, there's a part of me that hopes Tampa loses every single game and nobody comes to the games. And nothing against Mr. Vanek, because what he's done to this city is amazing. This has nothing to do with ownership. They have the best, one of the best owners in all of sports. But this GM,
Julien Brisebois.
Julien Brisebois, just humiliated one of the most respected, one of the best offensive players, and one of the best captains that the National Hockey League has seen in a long time. Literally. Literally spit on him.
And one of the most popular
One of the
athletes
most popular.
of baseball, the Buccaneers,
Every
well,
sport.
in
If
Tampa.
you go, talk to Steven Stamkos, you will leave that interaction saying, "Wow, what an amazing person. What a kind man. What a motivated person," right? And on the ice, I'm sure you talked to his teammates and how he was as a leader. Playing through pain, playing through injury, taking less money to keep a team together to get them to a Stanley Cup and win multiple Stanley Cups. Right? This Tampa Bay was able to win a Stanley Cup and be the team that they were because Steven Stamkos took less money to make sure that point stayed, make sure Kucherov stayed, make sure that him, yeah, exactly. Everybody stayed. That is the epitome of a team guy with integrity. And Steven Stamkos got spit on by Julien Brisebois. So I now am a bigger Nashville fan because they have Steven Stamkos. They have Marchessault.
I
They
know.
have my boy O'Reilly, who I love. They have my boy Roman Josi, who I love. This team. Now, if you're looking for a dark horse in the beginning of the season to put money on as a Stanley Cup contender, put your money on Nashville.
Buddy, they're good.
They're
They're
good. They
good.
were good last year without having Marchessault and Stamkos.
And then you add Soros in net. They're I agree. Every time I watched Nashville last year, they've got a tremendous coach who is an I Florida should never let him go, except obviously they won a cup. But Andrew Brunette, Joel Quenneville, who he was he, Andrew was his assistant in Florida. Joel Quenneville will tell you that Andrew Brunette is one of the smartest hockey minds that he's ever been around. He's done a tremendous job there. I love Barry Trotz. He good for him. Listen, they're going all in. And you mentioned Marchessault. He wasn't very happy either, bud. He was sour because, I saw some interviews. He was like, "No, they didn't offer me 4 years. They offered me this." And then you got McCrimmon saying, "Well, no, we offered him this." That you could tell that relationship went south real quick. But I agree with you. Nashville is gonna be a team to be reckoned with this year. They should be awesome to watch.
Yep, and Tampa's going to finish last in the league because of Julien Brisebois.
I know,
Period. End of sentence.
but I can't root against. Like I can't, listen, you are anti Tampa now, but they still have John Cooper, who Coop's one of the best guys ever. So I don't want to see them lose every
All
game.
right, good point. I love John Cooper. I love John Cooper. John Cooper should not, never let that happen with Steven Stamkos. Should have never let that happen. And I love John Cooper with he's one of my favorite guys and one of my favorite coaches ever. But I'm sorry. I'm taking my personal friendships out of this, and I'm going with because I was always a guy that wanted, and was one of the reasons why I left Chicago. I've always been one of those guys that think you should be treated fairly when you give everything to your team. Steven Stamkos gave everything to that team. Everything.
You know what's interesting, and I just thought of this now as we were talking, is Steve Yzerman, as we all know, played his entire career in Detroit. I wonder if Steve, if he was still the GM of Tampa, if this would have happened under his leadership.
No way. Not a chance.
You don't think so?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
You would have found.
Steve would have sucked it up to make sure that that kid finished as a Tampa Bay Lightning.
He would have found a way to make it work.
Yeah, 100%. I truly believe 100% Steve Yzerman would have made sure that Steven Stamkos finished as a Lightning player and retired with, you know, with one team, which is a very, very important and I think an unbelievable thing to achieve in sports these days.
Well, before we get on to other topics, just very quickly, I love the kid. You know, how much is he worth? He signs, you know, no coincidence. His number's 87. He signs for 8.7 million, 2-year deal, so that Dubas can find a way to make that team
Did
more.
it surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all because they just don't make Sidney Crosbys, bud. They're once in every 10, 20 years, a player like that, less money, do anything for the franchise. You know, people would talk last year, is Sid gonna, you know, get traded? Sidney Crosby is, unlike Stamkos, is never going anywhere. He's finishing his career. He doesn't want to play for another team.
He
And
put himself he put himself he put himself in Wayne Gretzky Mario Lemieux class.
he did. He did. It's
Maybe not on the point side, but on every other level of sports.
I just love the guy.
In integrity, hard work, dedication, loyalty.
I saw a clip the other day. He's delivering tickets to people's homes in Pittsburgh. Like he loves doing that.
Yeah,
He's like,
there's they won't make
no.
they won't make another Sidney Crosby. They won't make him. That he is such a role model to look after, and I've made it very clear many times that I didn't like him for the longest time. But I'll tell you what, I
Why is that?
because I played against him. All I did is see him whine every time, you know, whine and whine. He'd bitch and yell and complain every time he got hit and
He did
blah,
one.
blah, blah. And,
He
you know,
did
he couldn't
one.
touch him and, you know, so on and so forth. And
He did one. He did one in his career.
all of a sudden, things change. And then he would fight for his teammates. He played through adversity. He stopped complaining. He represented himself and his team with true class and integrity. And listen, I wish I had the traits and qualities of a player that Sidney Crosby had. You know, I was the brash one. I was the outspoken. I was the one that blah, that everybody thought I was in it for myself. And even though that's really not true, that's the image that I set forth. And that's how, you know, I did a lot of things different than Sidney on the ice in terms of the physicality and what I devoted to the game and all that stuff. But I didn't have the class.
Yeah.
I didn't have the class that Sidney Crosby has. And that's something to really admire. And I do.
Well, he was, you know what? It's no coincidence he was groomed by Mario when he left the Quebec League. I think it was the Remparts that he played for in his first few years. He lived with Mario Lemieux. And you know Mario, he epitomizes class.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
so
As we
it
say, you know, you put when you think of the most classiest guys ever, I mean, that were the superstars. You know, obviously Gretz, Mario, and now you got the big boy Crosby up there.
Listen, this isn't a sexy conversation, but while we're on the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues make an offer sheet this year. They get Philip Roberg and Dylan Holloway from the Edmonton Oilers for the second round draft pick. And I think at the very end, they threw in somebody else. But not too many offer sheets these days. And a lot of people...
Well, you say not too many offer sheets these days. Back in the 90s, there were nothing. Never.
Right.
They were null and void. And no team would infringe on somebody else's young guys. At least nowadays, we're seeing teams have that guts and those balls to go out there and throw offer sheets around and, you know, poach some of their young guys away and literally test other teams to where they're gonna, you know, they're gonna give up the draft picks and they're gonna let the guys go or take the draft picks and lose somebody that could be very valuable. Now, what do you do? Well, do you let the kid go?
I don't know if I would have let Broberg go. And I ran into Steve Ott at the rink yesterday. Our kids were practicing after each other, and I said, I asked him point blank, how does Broberg look? And he said, Pielzy, this guy is unbelievable. His speed, his gap control, he is going to be awesome for it.
I'm going to tell you, I know you just said, I know you're talking, but I think we all sat there and watched the coaching change in during the Edmonton series, right, with Florida. And we were all amazed that he was able to take certain guys out and insert certain guys. And they inserted Broberg. And there are a lot of people that says, what are you doing this for? Why is he doing this? Could have been probably the worst thing they could have done.
You know what?
It could have been the worst thing they could have done.
I never looked at it that way, right?
To put him in a situation and have him play as well as he did in the finals under the most the harshest conditions.
100%.
Nobody I don't know whether anybody would have given him a qualifying contract.
Not a chance.
There's so no chance. It backfired on him.
It he spent most of the year in Bakersfield. He'd get called up every once in a while. And now he's up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. They need to get some younger players on D.
Yeah.
They pull out Desharnais and a couple other guys. They put Broberg in. He plays 11 or 12 games straight. They never took him
out. Even Keenan. I mean, he's up there all the time watching, right? He says Broberg was a borderline NHL player. I mean, that's great. That's great combo from our chat line, right? So they see it. So, you know, good for them. That is a great addition. However, yes, it is good now, but still, I think the decision's really not yet made whether he's going to be a guy that is going to continue on that upscale of talent and you know what I mean?
Yeah, only time will tell. But I laughed because you know, it's well known that Doug Armstrong is very good friends with Kenny Holland. They go on golf trips together, spend a lot of time together in the summer golfing. And somebody asked them, they said, would you have made that trade if Kenny Holland was the GM or made that offer sheet? And he said, if my grandmother, he goes, I would have done it to my grandmother. He goes, I owe the fan base and the ownership of the St. Louis Blues the right to do this. Like, I've got to do what's right for the Blues and the fan base here. So whether that's true or not, who knows? But you know what? Army, there's a reason Army has been the GM of Canada. He's the GM of coming up in the Nations Cup. You know, he's a shrewd, shrewd GM. If I was another GM, I would not want to pick up the phone when I see Doug Armstrong calling. So,
no, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Well, listen. And speaking about Edmonton, our buddy Evander Kane, who we love, he's been on our show. He's out 5 to 6 months. I finally had to have that hernia surgery, as you and I both know. He was taking multiple injections throughout the playoffs to get him in, and he's going to be out 5 or 6 months, so they're going to miss him.
It's crazy. When did he have the surgery?
Like last week.
So let me ask you a question. Why do you wait till last week to have the surgery?
I don't know.
Why do you wait till last week? You know you're hurting. You know you have an injury. The season ends in end of June, but yet you have the surgery in September, and you waste 2.5 months of your recovery when you can get back on a play. What the hell? Who's in charge of these decisions? That is the stupidest thing I can ever imagine, unless he let it heal and he hurt it again in practice or pre-camp training to where now he has to get it. I just think it's insanity. And whoever's in charge of these kids are making big bad decisions that are going to hurt the bottom line. Because not having Evander Kane in the lineup with Edmonton, I'm sorry, is a big loss.
100%. It's a huge loss. But you get a healthy Evander Kane back for the stretch run in the playoffs. That could be a game changer for that organization because, as you and I both know, they're one win away from winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, if
So.
you get 6 months from September, right? So that brings them to March. Almost March. So and then he's gonna have 1 month to be get ready for the playoffs? No, I'm sorry. It's not enough time. Not enough time.
He's a stud. He'll be fine. Listen, I gotta
He's
tell
not
you.
that much of a stud to get ready in 1 month.
I gotta tell
Not
you
to
this.
do not to do ex what he needs to do to win, to make it to a Stanley Cup and help win, make it to a Stanley Cup.
I gotta tell you this story. Do you remember last year? I brought up Tony D'Angelo, and I said,
Yeah, your favorite guy.
I think he's a, what's the word? He's like the even though his teammates oh distraction he's a distraction even though his
That
teammates
was a big word that you couldn't find out of your head.
I know that's my grade 12 education from New Brunswick, so he was a distraction, and I said something that I probably shouldn't have said. I'm like, because he was yapping, and it was a playoff game when he dropped his glove and was looking at the bench, and he was just acting like a jerk. And I said, he's just got that face that you'd like to punch. Well, he messaged me on Instagram,
I remember.
and he's like, "Hey, anytime you'd like to talk, I'd love to meet you." He's basically saying, if you want to punch me, let's
Meet me
meet.
in the back alley.
Yeah. So anyway, he just signed. Listen, we're not, even though I was a ref, I'm not stupid. Like, I know when a player is a distraction. I've seen it for years. I understand whether a guy is liked by the G players, coaches, whatever. He just signed a 1 year deal or 2 year deal in Russia with SKA St. Petersburg. Okay. Now, last year in 31 games, he had 24 points. 22, 23, he had 73 points. 21, 22, he had 56 points. Now, can you tell me how a defenseman that averages basically 35 points a year does not get picked up by an NHL team? It's because I know I'm right. I know that he can say he's liked by his teammates, and I'm sure he likes a few, but he is a distraction. And now he's in Russia, so maybe he'll message me from Russia, and I don't know. Maybe he'll
Well,
send.
that might be the knockout punch that you were expecting to give him in the alley, is him signing in Russia. So you obviously picked out something, and obviously what they saw in New York because of what he how he treated the goaltenders in that situation. And I like Tony D'Angelo. I like him. I know nothing really about him personally. I like his game. I like his grit. But I could see how he can be a distraction, and the fact that he is in Russia with those kind of numbers pretty much solidifies everything that that we probably thought and you probably thought.
Well, listen, we've only got a few minutes left, but we have to bring up our whipping boy from last year because now he is on his fourth team and he's 26 years old, and that is PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Can you believe He signed an 8 year, what was it, 8 times 8 JR that Rob Blake gave him. And after
Well,
one.
we said it. I mean, I said it when it happened. And I said this, and I said it very sternly. I hope and pray for Rob Blake, and not for Pierre-Luc Dubois, not so much for the Kings, but for Rob Blake, because he put his trust and his faith in a hockey player. And I love when people do that. And to me, that would have motivated me to do everything I possibly could to make sure that that was honored. If I'm Pierre-Luc Dubois right now, I'm wearing a trash bag to the rink, okay, with two holes just to see with, not even a nose or a mouth to breathe. I'm wearing a trash bag, brown bag to the rink, okay, and hopefully he fights his way out of it, because he has no credibility anymore. He
No.
doesn't. He doesn't have any credibility anymore. Columbus, Winnipeg, and he just blew an amazing opportunity with an amazing contract in an amazing city with amazing fans
Yeah.
with a great team. So you know what? Pierre-Luc Dubois, you deserve everything that you're going to get from this point on. Whether that's a beating in the games, whether it's getting booed from every fan that you see, you have proven that you have no guts or no energy or no care but yourself. Period. End of sentence.
Listen. You can you played in this game. You how many play like he has all the skill, but to me, he doesn't have the jam. He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have the guts. He doesn't have all those intangibles. You know, what's that expression? He's
Bro,
got
he doesn't love the game.
exactly. He's
He
got
doesn't love the game.
all the tools, no toolbox. You know what I mean?
It's it, it actually it's actually depressing because I know so many players that have dedication and drive and want it so bad. And if they had half the talent that Pierre-Luc Dubois does, they would be in the National Hockey League making millions. But they don't. They do it on sheer grit and tenacity. And this guy just bleh, whatever, bleh.
Floats
It's
along.
it is it's a waste of super talent, and there's nothing worse than a waste of talent.
Listen, we have to touch on. I know, you played in Arizona. We were upset. We've already talked about that enough with the Coyotes leaving. But I'm happy for Clayton Keller. I'm happy for the players on the former Arizona Coyotes to actually play in an NHL building this year in Utah. I think they're going to have a great year out there. The fans are going to love them. And from everything I've heard, the players are like, this city is awesome.
It's
And
a great city. It's an awesome city. And I'm sure the city is going to support them because it is a great sport. You see how they've supported the Utah Jazz over the years. I think they're going to do the same thing with the hockey club. I agree with you, Clayton Keller. I'm not going to say the player's name, but there was one of the players that said, "Wow, this is what it feels like to be a professional athlete. This is pretty awesome."
exactly.
That says something, right?
JR, we talked about that last year. How would you feel driving up to Mullet Arena for an NHL game to play the LA Kings and pulling up to the Mullet Arena going, are you kidding me? In the dressing room
Hey,
and
but by the way, we got to give the guys and the players a lot of credit because they did exactly what they had to do with what they were
I
given, and they played their asses off, and they worked, and they competed, and they won more games than anybody thought, and they played to a system, they played to an identity, and I think this team is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year, and playing in a big city and feeling like an NHL team, I think they're going to get even better. So good for Utah, good for the owner, good for the players. You never like to see a team move. And
No.
I love Arizona. It's where I've lived for 25 years. And I feel bad for those fans there that they lost them. But this is an ownership issue. This is an ownership responsibility. The owners are the reason why that team is not there. Period. End of sentence. Whether it's managerial, but it's ownership, which allowed the Coyotes to go to Utah. But it's a new chapter. We don't have to worry about that anymore. I cannot wait to see what that new name is going to be. I think it's going to be Utah Yetis when they get there. I hope it's the Utah Yeti, but for now it's the hockey club. And good luck to those guys because they are phenomenal.
I love it. I love it. One last thing, Jeremy Swayman. You and I both love our boys over at Spittin' Chiclets, Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney, and Don Sweeney took a little swipe at them on at one of his press conferences, and Swayman's not signed yet. And with Allmark going to Ottawa, Swayman's got them bent over the barrel right now.
By the way, why would Jeremy Swayman sign unless he gets exactly what he wants?
Exactly.
Boston made the first move. They put all the balls into Swayman, gave him all the power. And Jeremy Swayman deserves to have a huge contract. And I'm a big Jeremy Swayman fan. And guess what? Donnie Sweeney, he's got one thing to do. And that's just to open up the checkbook and say, here you go, Jeremy.
Yep.
Get us back to the final.
Yep.
So good luck to Jeremy Swayman.
The only fault with that is you pay a goaltender that much money, man, that really handcuffs you, buddy. We know Kenny Holland won two or three cups in Detroit, not paying goal, you know, pay, not he paid them, but not that kind of money. That's a lot of money to pay a goaltender 8, 9, 10 million bucks, and that's probably what Wayne's gonna get. So.
Well, tis the season, tis the league. That's
Yeah.
where we are. And you know what? We all know that the goaltender is the most important part of winning a championship. We saw what Bobrovsky did last year in front of a team that was motivated. So I am in Jeremy Swayman's corner. Good luck, because I'm a Bruins fan and I would like to see them do well. But we got to go. I am off to Chris Chelios's. He has a little party. He's getting a nice award here in Chicago. So I'm going to go celebrate with Mr. Chelios and give him love.
We're at tonight.
We're going to Gibson's. We're going to
Oh,
Gibson's Steakhouse. So
nice.
I am in Chicago. I am at a friend's house, as you can see, as I'm in my room. And I just want to say it's really good to be back with you, Tim. 2024-25 is going to be a great year. Hopefully, we knock some heads off. We really surprise some people with the things that we say, but we also push the buttons. We also push the limits, right? We're going to make sure that we give people what they ask for. Thanks for everybody for being on the chat line. Obviously, you guys are following us. We will see you this year. Sorry we did not do any guest spots. We had a lot to hit, but we will see you guys next week, next Wednesday on nofilter.net. It's Snipes and Stripes with my boy Tim Peel. Take it away, Tim. Take us out.
Hey, love you, buddy. Thank you to BetOnline, Whiskey in the Wild, protected neck guards. Thank you to our listeners. We're excited for a brand new season. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to see you in a few weeks here in St. Louis, which I'm excited about. You're going to give me about five shots a side.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, no, I can't wait, bud. I can't wait to see you in October. Can't wait to see you in November. It's going to be a great year. And have a great time at Gibson's tonight and with Chelly. He's one of the best. Jelly is one of the best.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Well, that's it. Boom. Snipes and Stripes is out for this week. We'll see you next week right here at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. We think that's going to be the time, unless we get too busy to change. But until then, have a great week, boys and girls. We'll see you later.
Bye.